smoking on some dope, drinking on some beer.
About to lose the kids for about a week. Yeah, get them out of my house.
Hi.
Kids are gonna be gone for a week.
For a week. What will the adults do? Sitting here drinking beer, thinking God, amen. Probably. Yeehaw! You're gonna eat to my heart, baby.
Yeah, let's talk about Cody. Oh yeah, you wanted to throw out respect.
Yeah, I don't know if I hit play on that last sound check because it ain't no recording yet, so we gotta do it all over here.
Oh man, we gotta do another sound check.
Sound check. It works in your favor, and hey, man. And y'all ain't paying us for it? You know, man, Pat Wick said a month and a half ago, we need to steal more bases.
And what happened?
Since then, I ain't even gonna say it yet. Y'all gotta pay us for that.
Y'all gotta pay us for that.
Tell y'all what the result is of what he said. Yeah. You wait till we go live, motherfucker. Then y'all gonna hear about what we doing out here.
And then several months before that, my boy said Kyle Hamilton to the Ravens.
Y'all know how that played out, right?
And then he said, you know what? Go ahead and throw Tyler on the hitch, too.
Lindebaum.
And you know what happened? He got Kyle and Tyler in the same round. My man calls it like he sees it.
Call it like I see it. This guy is great at this. It will be perfect for the Ravens. We should get him. This guy is also great at this. If he falls to us and the other guy don't, we should get him. Somehow the GM was like, man, Kamikaze got a point. Let me get both of them. Like, what the fuck?
I can't even wait. It's like almost a mystery.
Right. Toe black sheep.
Kenny Pickett's
the best quarterback in the draft, and the Steelers always going to take the best player if they're going to take a player out of that position group. Look what they did.
Kenny Pickett's. To the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I be knowing some shit. I just be knowing a little bit of shit. All right. Just a little bit of shit.
Let's see what we got.
So I stole the heartbreak from Shawn Michaels, and you know I'm already Kamikaze. So yeah, Dre is no more. Now I'm Heartbreak Kamikaze. You can call me HBK for sure. It was just time for me, you know, to adopt the name that made me a wrestling fan.
Makes sense.
So yeah, that's that. But your boy is here with my phenomenal tag team host, Pat Wick.
What's up, my people? You're joined here with us once again for a wonderful, beautiful Beer Buzz Banter podcast.
On a Sunday.
Now, of course, no Beer Buzz Banter podcast would be incomplete without our... Black Sheep! course, he's back with us. Studio Black Sheep, welcome back.
Yes, sir.
All right. We'd like to welcome you back once again. We are all here. Let's get started.
You hit a bell, that must mean we're gonna talk about some wrestling. Now, we understand that we are a little late to the discussion. But, your boys had to hop on the mic and talk about some Hell in a Cell. It had some crazy moments. None crazier than the main topic. I'm just going to dive straight into it. Cody Rhodes wrestling with a full fucking torn pack. That shit looked brutal when he took off his jacket. Gotta give a man his flowers while he's still alive. People, you know, he put butts in those seats. People bought tickets to see him wrestle. And rather than just putting himself on the shelf, he said, I'm going to go out here and give the people what they want with the torn pack and all. And then still ended up putting on a 5-star match. And I'll say 5-star by my standards because I'm a little bit more lenient. I mean, Dave Meltzer gave that match a 5-star.
Now, let me ask you something. Now, I wasn't viewing this at the time, but not an easy comparison, but in my regard, a comparison. Did you see the Triple H?
Yes.
Okay. Now, obviously, I haven't seen it, so I'm going to go clearly off your perspective. Was that similar in any regard to what Cody displayed as far as getting through the partially torn pec muscle?
It wasn't partially torn by the time the match
came. Okay. It was completely torn.
Completely torn.
Okay, so then now we're talking about Triple H, which he had a lower...
Torn quadricep. Straight off the bone.
Straight off the bone. Now, you've seen both. Give me a comparison.
Okay, so both men are tough son of a bitches. Triple H's torn quadricep by no means is any less impressive for him to finish that match, but he tore it during the match.
Okay, so this wasn't...
Cody went into the match with this fully torn pectoral muscle.
I gotcha now.
His whole arm was purple, You feel me? So, to make the decision, because at that point, you got an easy reason to be like, all right, I can't work today.
Right.
You know, to make that decision to go out there and give the people that bought their tickets to see Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins what they wanted, bro, I don't give a fuck. If it took us 2 months to do another show, I was going to fucking mention this shit.
When we heard rumblings before Hell in a Cell pay-per-view started, Kamikaze Black Sheep, we heard about what had happened.
Yeah, and like, you can't wrestle. I thought that match was canned.
Right. Now we were like, that's my point. Is we thought this was canned. This is going to be Seth Rollins versus somebody else now, or just completely done with the match altogether. But then you hear, you know, Cody's really going to wrestle, and we're like, this is impressive. And then right like what you said,
bro. After the entrance, bro. During the entrance, you can see his chest is a little purple.
Yeah.
But when he takes that jacket off, bro,
you really see the
measures.
You're
like, bro, is this really about to happen? I remember the moment he took off the jacket. We both looked at each other and was like, bro, like, he's about to do this? Like, that is incredible to me. Like, mad respect to him. And then for him to, you know, give his reason on why he did it, you know, I appreciate it even more because it wasn't even about the match. It was about the fans that put their butts in the seats on his performance, on his being there, and not to fucking, you know, just go in there and rein it in.
Right.
Because if they had a bad match, you'd understand why.
Absolutely.
But they still went out there and fucking had a phenomenal fucking match. Like, I was talking about that match the next day, bro. Like, that's how good that match was. Like, you know, big respect to Cody. Big respect to Seth, too. Because he's gonna get a lot of heat for what he did the next night on Raw.
And I agree with that, but we have to mention, of course, down the road here, not right now, what we talked about as far as a timing scenario for now, what Cody Rhodes will be dealing with.
Cody Rhodes is estimated to miss about 9 months. That puts him at being ready for action about March. I believe that's a WrestleMania return. It has to be because it's too close to WrestleMania for it not to be. But here's where I think we make it good. Seth Rollins is face at this point. He's some champion. Cody Rhodes, he's doing an open challenge. Cody Rhodes returns at WrestleMania, heal Cody, and destroy Seth. You feel me? Like, not even when whatever championship he come out there to fight him for, he just destroys him. Goes full on heel. Now you got the American Nightmare as a bad guy. Seth Rollins as a good guy. Role reversal. And you can have three good matches straight off of that with whatever fucking story you want to go with.
Are we seeing it more time? Are we seeing it now with more times with Cody that this is truly more personal for him than any business relation he's probably had in his wrestling? Yeah. This is
he wants to win the WWE Championship. He has to win that WWE Championship. He wants to do it for his dad.
Well, not to mention, he wants to do it on his terms. You saw a lot of times before they were gimmicks, brought to him, or, you know, influences that he was involved with, whether it was the DiBiase faction.
It wasn't the DiBiase faction. Well, it was the Randy Orton faction.
Well,
it's
Legacy. But it's Legacy, right. And then you have, you know, obviously his run as the Star Child or
Stardust. But his best gimmick was Dashing Cody Rhodes.
But then you see a lot of those, but I don't know if those were natural. Where now we're seeing Cody Rhodes naturally, American Nightmare, coming out and doing what he wanted to do from the...
Cody Rhodes' gimmicks work. You feel me? You remember how I used to talk about Cody, even after he left.
Right.
Like, I was always a fan of Cody. Like, this whole American Nightmare shit made other people fans of Cody. But I've always been a fan of Cody because whatever they gave him, he made it work.
But did he ever, during that reign that you watched, did he ever really get a serious... I mean, besides, he did old tag gold, correct?
Right, he's been Intercontinental.
He's been Intercontinental, but has he ever gotten that shot?
He coined the Nugget Championship, but he's never had a world title shot. He's never been that guy.
And I think with WWE releasing that information that, you know, he's here to win a championship, it foregoes any other conclusion besides Cody Rhodes eventually down the road. But now, you know, now with the injury, we're setting up, of course, obviously for next year, and what you've talked about with that being so close to WrestleMania, you know, him being able to rehab, and you have a whole month to work in a program to where now, what are we getting? Little clippets here, little clippets there of Cody, and, you know, what are we going to get from WrestleMania? It's setting up for something good.
The best thing that Cody did for WWE fans was while he was in AEW, book himself into a corner of not being able to win an AEW World Championship. Because that's why he's back in WWE. Because he didn't want to disappoint the fans in there that he promised he would never compete for the World Championship. Because he's a co-owner. But to be wrestling for a competitor, why you still own part of the company? That's incredible. But to go out there and be like, oh, you paid your money for me, I'm coming out here and I'm going to wrestle for you, even though I don't have to. That's special.
I think I'm looking at more of the business side of things. He had to do what he had to do early on in AEW. We saw a lot of, you know, he cut himself several times in the early on. It was really bloody matches going on, setting the foundation for AEW. After the talent, because from the time that Cody opened to the time they are now, they've inherited a lot of talent.
A lot of talent from NXT that I love.
Correct.
And that's what gets me watching AEW, by the way.
So
that NXT talent that's there, that's what gets me watching.
So now your product size is better than you ever could have imagined. You're getting all these guys that are still getting pops. You're getting your Daniel Bryans. You're getting your Johnny Morrisons. You're getting your Keith Lees now. So to the point, Cody set up his business
Who's
properly.
Who's house?
Swerve's house. Right. Another great one as well. And now you've seen your product. Like I said, now you can step away because you no longer have to be that guy. There's so many guys now where you can sit there and let your product grow right in front of you and say, oh, by the way, I can let my product grow and still go and take care of a personal vendetta that I have to become a WWE champion before I retire. That, to me, smells like business.
Do we need to discuss anything else from Hell in a Cell?
The fact that we still don't know if Elias and Ezekiel are brothers or the same person yet. We still don't know that. I want to bring up one thing, and this may be, you might shoot me down by the time I get there. The early exiting of Edge from the Judgment Day faction.
Paul, that was okay. Wrong. Let's hold off on that because okay. I want to jump back to NXT in your house.
All right.
And I gotta give credit to my boys. The Creed brothers are our new NXT Tag Team Champions, boy. And I cannot talk wrestling about that weekend without mentioning the fact that they should have been tag team champions. WWE dropped the ball with fucking not putting them on it when fucking Brutus did his fucking cannonball. But I will tell you one thing. The Creed brothers, bro, they are superstars in this business, bro. And we saw it from day one, bro. As soon as we seen them stand on that stage with the Diamond Mine, we was like, oh, we gonna like these guys.
But this is the only thing I'm concerned about. What you've said so far is 100%. We were backing them when they first came into Diamond Mine. We've backed them now ever since they've kind of disparted between, you know, our Roderick Strong and the rest of the Diamond Mine. But I am personally saying this. I would have rather them be a heel tag team champion rather than a babyface.
But
only because the elongation period from heel to babyface is way different. You seem to be able to hold a title longer as a heel tag team faction than you are as a babyface faction. So to me, it seems like a short period.
Because babyface always in a chase.
Right. Babyfaces are always in a chase.
But that's what you like. Because the Creed Brothers is the type of tag team where they can be a heel. They can be a face. So they can have a championship reign where they transition. You know, you can have a double turn situation at some point during a match where they go from being face tag team to a heel tag team and still continue on to be tag team. But I don't think that NXT has enough tag teams that are good enough, because Pretty Deadly's good. Those two guys are good wrestlers, but are you really interested in what that tag team is doing?
To me, the androgynous period ended for me when we lost one of our favorite wrestlers. You got the t-shirt of him, Black Gentleman.
Oh, Velveteen Dream.
Velveteen Dream. Yeah. That's to me when...
Bro, you're absolutely right.
Because after Velveteen, to me, it all just seems like the gimmick.
He's too good with his androgynisticness. It made so much sense the way he worked it.
Okay.
And since he left, that kind of character always just rubs me wrong. You know what? I never noticed that until you just said that.
Well, to me, you look at a Pretty Deadly, it screams hair match, first of all.
Right, yeah,
it
like,
screams
versus
hair...
each other, where both guys lose, right?
Well, to me, it screams hair match, like, they're going to lose their hair eventually. That's the first thing they go. Yes, they'll probably be very handsome once they lose their hair, but to me... I think we put the cart in front of the horse in this situation, because I am not convinced on their prowess as a tag team just yet. Yeah, they have a few great moves, but they don't sell me as being a powerhouse tag team championship tandem. I just don't see it yet. Now, granted, they are the pretty boys, they are the faces. I get it. This is normal, you know, blueprint when it comes to wrestling and tag team heel factions. I get that. But to me, I don't believe it yet. Like, I obviously, you want to punch them in the face. That's what they're supposed to make you feel like.
Right.
So that part of it, I understand. The hair match, it's almost going to happen, whether it's in NXT or in WWE, but someone's going to challenge them to a hair match, and they're going to lose. Because eventually, everybody loses their hair in WWE. It's just a formality. You know, Daniel Bryan.
Good wedding gift for TT.
What's that?
Cornhole set.
Cornhole set. Great idea.
I don't know why I was just thinking about that while you was talking, but that was just on my mind for a second.
But no, to me, I'm not sold on it. Pretty Deadly to me. Look, they look like to me they're working on whatever they're going to work on, and then it's a straight shot to wherever
SmackDown or Raw. Yeah. Eventually they're going to be.
I don't really it's a not short stint like for me. Them. It's just I'm not interested in what they're doing.
I'm not
like,
interested
I'm literally more interested in the Legado La Familia storyline yes, than
the cartel, absolutely.
Than anything Pretty Deadly's doing. I love Carmelo Hayes. I'm not happy that he's the new North American champion, by the way. We got to mention that shit, too. He's two times.
What?
You know, because Cameron Grimes, bro, to the moon, this my guy. He deserves a little longer. But you're absolutely right. Heels get more time with the belt than baby faces.
Granted, I really want to see the experiment, if and when it does happen, when Cameron Grimes comes to the next stage, whether it's SmackDown or Raw, yeah. And he can still get that same little pop, because then you've got something to work with.
It's just the Raw and SmackDown fan base is different than the NXT fan base, and if they don't know these guys, sometimes they get lost in the shuffle. I'm a little worried that that's what might happen with Cameron Grimes, you know?
But as a wrestling fan, you know that eventually with his talent, he'll see himself in an AEW contract.
Yeah, well,
so there's no worries now, because before, you know, they had to slip into independent.
He got AEW connects with the Hardy Boys.
Absolutely he does. So it wouldn't be a problem. Oh. And you know AEW is a headhunter when it comes to talent that has escaped WWE. They go after them. They go after them hard. And they usually finish the deal, Kamikaze.
You're absolutely right.
Cash money.
All right. So let's go ahead and wrap up this wrestling segment with a little bit of Cody Rhodes' entrance music, which is, for the people out there that can't find this song, because I know it's hard to find, the song is Downstate Kingdom, by the way. You know?
Adrenaline in my soul, every fire out of control, do it all to get them off the feet. Crowd is here, about to blow, waiting for me to start the show. Out the curtain lights go up, I'm home. Whoa.
When I was younger, hard times be better, man. Give it all away, I give it all away. Can't take my freedom. I'm here to change the game, I better make a play. I built my kingdom for you.
Bow to me, my dreams are not my game. You follow me.
You're listening to Beer Buzz Banter.
Yes, sir. I had to give you a little bit of Cody's entrance music so y'all can understand why that shit go ham. It's Downstate. Of course it go ham. It's a good band. I love Downstate, by the way. Underrated band.
Underrated band.
Very underrated band. I can pull up a playlist of Downstate songs and Corey be like, yeah, Downstate. he probably don't even know who Downstate is. Nope. They don't go to me, it goes to Pat.
No, it goes to you.
I just got it.
No, it always goes. I passed it to the left, so you gotta hit it again. Shit's gonna fuck up the rotation.
Black Sheep. Yes. How you doing, man?
Right, good. You was quiet during that segment. Oh, right. That's right. You didn't come home for the Hell in a Cell watch party.
I was getting my thoughts and notes collected while you guys were handling the Hell in a Cell for.
So now that you got all your notes prepared and everything.
All right, we all for Hell in a Cell. Now we're gonna dive into some Major League Baseball.
Baseball first.
Yeah. Oh, he didn't take baseball notes. He took football notes.
All right. All right.
We're going to go baseball next because I knew you were going to be unprepared. And we're going to talk about how the Red Sox are closing in on your Tampa Bay Rays. How you feel about that?
Wait, I do have some breaking news real quick, Kamikaze, okay. If I can drop that on there. Rays lose all-star closer. I don't know his name. I didn't write it down. But they lost their 2001 All-Star closer
when?
With Tommy John surgery
2 days ago.
Skeeters and Skeeters.
Yeah, Andrew Kitteridge. Andrew Kitteridge is out for the rest of the remaining of the season for Tommy John surgery.
A Rays pitcher. A
Rays closer. 2001 All-Star.
A Rays pitcher hurt. That makes my dick hard. You know why? Because the Rays have one of the best pitching staffs in the league. And their bullpen is their best weapon. And if their closer is hurt, oh, that's great.
Well, not to mention, you're having problems closing out games now. If you're the Rays, I mean, you look at this guy and he was...
It looks like the Red Sox because we don't have a defined closer.
Right, so
even
now,
though we all know who should be our closer if he's not a starter. Tanner.
With now three games out.
It makes sense because this year he hasn't been performing well. Our biggest weakness before everybody got hurt, now it's our offense and producing runs. But lately we've been getting runs and still losing. Because our problem all year has actually been a bullpen this year.
Sounds like the Red Sox.
But Kitteridge was one of our problems, and it makes sense that he regressed that much because he was playing hurt and he tried to get through it, and then it was just like, look, nah, come back in 2 years, a year, whatever.
Well, Tommy John, you know, he usually can come back better at that point, but, you know, we'll see if the seed has the stuff. But it has to scare you a little bit when you're tied with Toronto. Obviously, at 34 wins.
Technically, they're half a game above us.
All right, half a game above you. But you're right there with Toronto. You go against Minnesota yesterday, and you lose that game. And then, of course, they lose their game.
And thankfully, everybody else lost.
Well, and then that was my point. And then you go to the Blue Jays game, and they lose. And then we lose a heartbreaker, Red Sox, I'm meaning, in the bottom of the ninth. Ahead by a run, we lose by one, and you know it's one of those nights, kamikaze, where just want to cry.
Yeah.
You know we don't gain anything,
especially because y'all played last, so you had the advantage to see everybody lose already.
Oh, that great point. And you look at it, and we're so close to being right there, especially now with, like I said, your main closer being out. You know us. The Yankees, the Blue Jays, and the Rays, you know, you look at it, it's getting tighter as we go along in this season, and I'm excited to see how it's going.
You know why it's getting tighter?
Why is that, kamikaze?
Because the Boston Massacre, the new definition of the Boston Massacre, which you guys will hear about pretty soon, but not just yet. Right, man, a little story for y'all.
But... like we commented earlier, and I think was the test audio, you look at everybody else's division, their top teams are at 31 to 34 wins. We are right there with the best teams in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
It's not our fault that our division is one of the toughest.
Right.
You know, from us to the Rays to the Blue Jays to the Yankees.
It's not our fault that the Yankees are doing steroids.
Supposedly.
Nah, the Yankees are doing steroids.
The Yankees are doing steroids.
My boy, Aaron Judge got 24 home runs, bro. It is only June.
How many?
24 home runs, bro. It's only June.
The sequence has started.
That's steroid talk, bro.
5, 4, 3, 2.
Oh, wait, just another home run.
Right, Aaron Judge did, 25 home runs. Because he's fucking Aaron Judge on steroids, bro.
Yeah, that guy's like what? 6'5", 6'6", something like that?
6'8", bro. 300 pounds.
He played center field yesterday. Made it look almost effortless. How can a guy 6'8", run that fast? Like, you almost want to be like, dude, you wasted it in football, in baseball. You should have been a football player.
Yeah, but he understood the assignment.
Yeah,
make the most money and hurt your body the least. Shit. Kyler Murray, he didn't get it. Russell Wilson, he didn't get it. Baseball is career longevity for one.
Yeah.
And you make it more than being a football player.
You can't tell your heart what to love. I mean, you can love a lot of sports, but when you're in your heart of hearts,
you're right.
You
but
know
I didn't start baseball to talk about the Yankees.
Well, here we are, all of them.
Sheep. Let's not talk about the Yankees.
All right, moving off of the Yankees and on, obviously, the Red Sox.
Right.
Coming off a heartbreaker last night.
It didn't break my heart.
It didn't break your heart?
You know why it didn't break my heart? Because I seen Promise. JD's bat is it started
You're out.
To produce some power. My boy Bobby Dalback is doing his thuggies. Last 15 games, his batting percentage is over 300. You know, back-to-back nice homers for both of these guys. My boy Rafi hit an effortless two-run shot in the place where he hit his first career home run.
Offensively, Kamikaze's not off. We're one of the best offensive teams. Obviously,
after starting off as the slowest offensive team.
But we've talked about that, Kamikaze.
That's what the Red Sox do.
Yeah, but no, that when you shorten a spring training session and expect to, you know, play normal baseball, it's just not going to happen.
Right.
Guys are used to elongated spring training.
Right. And then they try to fucking play with these fucking chip balls and shit like that. Like, what the fuck is these chip balls? Like, give us our juice and watch us crank them.
Hey, crank them we have.
And crank them we have. But I want to, you know, like, the biggest difference that I'm noticing in the Red Sox, other than the quality of starting pitching we're getting.
Correct.
Because we've been getting great starting pitching if you ignore what happened to Mike Walker last week.
Right.
We've been getting great starting pitching. But the biggest difference with the offense is that when we get on, we're running.
You're absolutely correct, Kamikaze.
I remember at a point we had four stolen bases, and it was like April, end of April, right?
Right.
We had four stolen bases on 9 attempts. We did a show. My guy Pat Wick said we need to try to steal more bases. Since that statement, we have 15 successful stolen bases. Anybody want to guess how many attempted stolen bases the Red Sox have in that time span?
How many?
Two.
Four. How, if we have 15 successful? How many did we attempt?
Okay, so 12.
Stop being a dickhead and indulge me. Give me your best guess.
17.
17?
20.
20? No. In that time span where we have 15 successful stolen bases, we have 15 fucking attempts.
That bad. 100%.
That's 100%. And why? Because Pat Wick told him to.
I appreciate the Red Sox brass for listening to the show. I mean, holler at us, please.
Right. We will do the Inside the Monster podcast. Just fly us out the
right. I will literally
Boston,
put myself
bro, literally.
Inside the monster into a podcast during the game.
Yeah.
Why? If the guys want to use the John in there, it's cool too.
Yeah.
I can use it while I'm in there. All
right. Yeah, right. I ain't got to touch a play. I just want to see
Black Sheep, any thoughts?
Yeah. Thoughts. Incredible stack, right?
The Yankees won in the World Series. Raise up. We're going.
In Baltimore and Toronto?
Oh, we talking about irrelevance on here?
Okay. I mean, the Rays are more irrelevant in Toronto. So.
I mean, y'all more irrelevant than both of them.
Yeah, hey. Right now, but just
hey,
know, this is... This is Red Sox legacy, bro.
Hey, you
we
can't
do
say
this.
Anything. We're not above 500 anymore. I mean,
where's that shit? Where's that shit? Oh, we over 500.
Hey. 7 games over 500.
Hey. One day we'll be there.
We're just pacing y'all. We're good. This is not a race, Black Sheep.
Yeah, this is
a
not a marathon.
No,
this is not a sprint.
No.
This is a marathon.
Sorry, I think we're 9 games. 7 or 9.
It's all right. You see, your wheels are starting to fall off a little bit, Black Sheep. See, you
right.
Your clothes
are actually we're getting healthier, though.
We're getting healthier, bro.
Oh, yeah?
Wanda Frank will be back this week. Brandon Lowe will be back
this
week.
Yeah, they said that with Wanda last week.
Right, but it's official. He's coming back this week coming up.
So good. He's still got to have rust.
He'll be back for the Yankee series. Brandon
Lowe will
be back.
He still
got
to get in game shape.
You
still got to get you still swing again.
I hope you do well in the Yankee series because I need y'all to clip a few games from him anyway.
Right.
We will catch up to y'all eventually. It don't matter if we catch up to y'all in June. We will catch up to y'all, bitch ass.
We have one more game in this Mariners series. And then we have the Oakland A's.
Oh, no.
So that's sweet.
And then we got the Detroit Tigers, buddy.
We won't sweep the Tigers, but we'll sweep the A's. I promise you, bro. That's how it's going to go. We will sweep the A's. But we won't sweep the Tigers, even though it should be the other way around.
The A's are going to get one.
No, not the A's. The Tigers will.
The A's are going to get one.
Wanted to bring up something we talked about.
And we definitely got to sweep one of the two because we're going to lose two games to the Cardinals. I can guarantee you that.
Oh, we swept one.
All right, I just want to let everybody know.
Everybody in our division has.
Chris Sale's on track to throw a bullpen session this past Friday, and then we'll face live hitters this week coming up, reported by Jen McCaffrey from The Athletic. Wanted to give breaking news for...
Bobby Dalbec will hit his third home run for his third consecutive day versus Seattle today. Breaking news. And that's not a prediction. That, my friend, is a motherfucking spoiler.
Your Xander Bogaerts has now become the longest tenured shortstop.
He's played more games than any shortstop in Red Sox history. He is the definitive captain of this team. We need to pay him versus trading him.
Beating a record that withstood since 1921, Kamikaze, by one Everett Scott, becoming the longest tenured shortstop.
Never heard of Everett Scott, but I've heard of Xander Bogaerts.
Unless you're around 1921, buddy, I don't think you would have. But it's a long period of time to be the longest tenured Red Sox shortstop in Red Sox history. Yeah. It's a rich history, bro.
Very rich history. I love Xander. I like to keep him around for a long time, but we both know that's highly unlikely.
You know, it's not highly unlikely because if you look at it, teams that want to win are willing to go and pay that luxury tax, and we need to be one of those teams.
But when have we ever been one of those teams? We wasn't even that through the Poppy years, bro. Like, we just built around him, you know? And if that's the goal, to build around Devers, I'm good with that. But you got to pay him, too. For me to be like, all right, well, we're going to fucking do that. Because, remember, we never really paid Poppy what he was worth.
No.
We never paid him what he was worth.
But we did other things for Poppy. We let him become a Bostonian. We allowed him to be himself in Red Sox. We didn't want him to, we didn't change him. We didn't tell him anything.
That's not enough.
Not to mention
player control leagues, bro. For everybody, bro. You ain't gonna get everybody like that. Now Rafi might be, because he's a very nice guy, so he might be that type of person, which would be great. But I just don't know yet.
But back when Poppy was Poppy, he was averaging between 17 and 20 million per year, and they were doing that every year. That's not a bad average if you look over a 10 to 12 year contract. You know, for a player making $200 to $300 million, that's a bargain. So I applaud David Ortiz for allowing us to bargain with him for this entire
career. That's my point. We never paid him what he was worth.
Yeah, but
he made a lot of money. I'm not arguing whether or not he made money. What I'm arguing is we didn't pay him what he was worth.
We didn't have to pay him what he was worth because he realized he had something special.
And he wanted to win.
We picked him off waivers when the Minnesota Twins didn't believe in him, and we made him become a hero in Boston. So, we worked out
Sheep
together.
Sheep is a bitch. He gonna try to make me draft on the show.
Not to mention, if you look at it now that David Ortiz is retiring, hasn't he come off on the business
David
end?
Ortiz is a Hall of Famer.
David Ortiz is retiring just now?
No, he's a Hall of Famer.
No, I'm saying since he's been retired. Future Hall of Famer this year, by the way.
No, already.
Oh, he was.
Yeah, they already did that.
Oh, they already did that?
Yeah, we did that.
That was before he almost got killed down there.
No, wasn't before that. That was during the season. His whole Hall of Fame thing.
We missed it?
No, I didn't miss it. You missed it.
You missed it.
I missed one Red Sox game, and that was the one I slept through the other day. Broke my personal record.
Wow. You're a fake fan.
motherfucker, how many Rays games you watched? Two?
I watched every single one.
Yeah. How many you seen in person this year?
Every single one.
Okay.
How many Rays games you seen?
Ray in person too? Okay. This year, one.
Alright.
I'm not a Rays fan, though. Okay. You know why I seen that one?
Go Rays!
You know why I seen that one?
He seen the Red Sox game, but he seen the Rays game.
No! The only reason why I seen that Rays game in person, because the Red Sox was in town, motherfucker. What you mean?
He called it the Rays game.
Hold on. Okay, let's do a test.
Because it was a Rays game. It's a Rays game.
Let's do a test.
Let's do a test.
Yeah, I did win that game.
Let's do a test. Okay, ready? Alright, who's got put a clock on your phone.
Put a clock on my phone?
Yeah, put a timer on your phone.
How many
Black
seconds?
Sheep, I want you to be ready, okay?
Ready for what?
I'm gonna give
how
you a
how many seconds?
I don't know seconds. I don't know as long as it takes.
Oh, so you don't want that kind of crap. You want a stopwatch.
I want a stopwatch.
Okay, ready? Tell me
what. Alright. Now don't start the stopwatch until I finish the question.
Okay.
Black Sheep.
So,
give me the entire Rays lineup from 1 to 9. Go.
Can't give you the whole lineup.
What do you mean?
I can't give you the whole lineup.
All right, so let's reverse it. Stop the stopwatch.
Yeah.
Kamikaze.
Hold on, I give you the lineup.
No, you can't look it up. It's off the rip.
You want it from 1 to 9 when we're injured and switching people out.
I don't care. Give me a lineup. All right.
I can give you a lineup. All
right.
I just can't give people 1 to 9 because I don't go from 1 to 9.
Ready, set, go. Start your stopwatch.
Hold on. Reset.
And Pat disrespecting me and all this shit. You better know I need 1 to 9 exactly. I need today's lineup.
Oh, you need today's lineup?
On the top.
Give me today's lineup.
All right, I'll try it.
On the top right now.
Hold on, let me go ahead and start it.
No, don't look at your phone for lineup,
ready? Alright, no, I started. Alright, we got Trevor Story leading off, Rafael Devers, JD Martinez, Xander Bogaerts, fucking Alex Verdugo, Frenchie Cordero, Bobby Dalbec, Christian Vasquez, and then Jackie Bradley Jr., motherfucker!
Stop your watch.
Stop!
How you see the
line? 21 seconds and 21 and 93. Bro, I'm pretty sure we posted it on our Facebook, on Boston Facebook thing, and I already know it. So, hold on. Because I didn't even look at it yet. I never even looked at the lineup today yet.
You lucky I ain't gonna show me on ESPN.
You lucky I'm about to pull it up for you. Don't worry. I got you.
Man. That was a tense moment here for a minute, sports fans.
I was going to say, you better know.
So the lineup, Trevor Story, Rafael Devers, JD Martinez, Xander Bogaerts, Alex Verdugo. I fucked up here. It's Christian Vasquez. It's Christian Vasquez, Franchi Cordero, Bobby Dalbec, and then Jackie Bradley Jr. So the only one I got wrong is that Christian is batting ahead of Frenchie. That's the only one I got wrong, though.
Got him.
So, but our catcher always bat eighth, usually. So that was why I did it like that. So
whatever point you were trying to make, you didn't make it back.
No, he did. I got the lineup right.
No,
every guy
no.
that I said was batting is batting,
no,
right?
He said 1 through 9.
I mean... Bro, Christian always bat 8.
Though. Hey, that's not
the
older.
Well, he always bat 8.
Technically, since Black Sheep didn't answer any names, he got all 9 wrong.
Yeah, so 1 out of 9 ain't bad.
Oh, so everybody else fails the test in the class, then it's okay to fail the test.
It's okay, Black Sheep. You don't watch your team.
That was my point.
I can name you.
I
can name you at least 7.
All right, name us the 7 then.
Give us the 7. I want 1 through 9.
No, give us the 7. Because at least, bro, I got players out. Players out, and I still knew who was up there, bro.
You got Randy. You got Joe Manchu. You got Randy. Chew.
Joe.
Homie, what else?
Jumanju.
Joe Man,
Jumanji,
Juski Man. Yeah,
we got Jumanji.
Every time I fucking go to a game, this motherfucker hit a home run. I hate him, bro. I know who you're talking about.
We got Jumanji. We got Mufasa.
Right.
Right. We got Scar.
Right. Yeah.
Aladdin. For
right.
Sure, bro. He's gonna
right,
be there.
Right. 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 We got all the motherfuckers from the Disney Channel.
We got. You already know, bro.
Right. Who's your catcher?
Who's your catcher? Oh, dude, that came from the Tigers.
Dude, what's his name? He's one of the best catchers in the league, too.
I forget his name. I can tell you his name if you really want me to.
All right. So apparently, somebody needs to do their homework.
We're going
to
leave Black Sheep alone.
And I'm going to ask him down the road that same question, and I'm going to see how long it takes. Which was your time kamikaze was what?
My time on that was 21 seconds.
21 seconds, kamikaze.
I probably won't ever beat that. I don't care.
Yeah, but you play the show, and then you watch it sometimes. Why not? Black Sheep? It makes it more fun.
It's not as fun as basketball.
You know what I did? I just remembered what our lineup was for yesterday.
Right.
And you got it wrong.
I didn't get it wrong. Because Christian batted eighth yesterday. That's why I thought he was batting eighth. I didn't get it wrong. They just fucking changed it up on me for today. Christian always bat eighth, yo. Christian and Wolecki always bats eighth because Jackie bats ninth.
Right.
Every fucking time,
yeah, but
bro.
Recently, Bobby's been batting ninth.
No.
Hasn't he?
Bobby bats seventh.
Oh, he bats seven?
Bobby bats seventh. Oh. He's in the middle of that lineup.
I thought the last time he played Oakland, he was batting ninth.
He's batting seventh.
Okay, well.
He came in a pinch hit for Franchi one time, and he batted, I think it was fourth. But that was it.
Any thoughts besides what we've talked about? Anything else when it comes to Chris Sales?
I'm a better baseball fan than Black Sheep is.
Black Sheep?
I only became a baseball fan 2 years ago, by the way.
Black
right?
Sheep, absolutely correct.
So, for me to know that well, to know how we're going to do things, is, you know, that's about that.
Juan DeFranco pinpoints there, Black Sheep. Do you think when he comes back, we're going to see the same Juan DeFranco? Is he going to take some time?
When he comes back, he's going to help my fantasy team beat Black Sheep in his league.
See what's crazy is? I don't even keep up with baseball like that, but I'm still whooping his ass in baseball fantasy. Crazy.
That's because neither one of us understand how we get in fucking school.
Well, no, to be fair, that's because I played a lot of the show, and I kind of know players' names in general that are good around the league, so I kind of knew what just to hope for.
Show kind of helps you with understanding baseball, too, but, you know.
Well, I understand baseball. I used to watch baseball a lot. And I could tell you all the old players from back in the day.
Right, but you just don't like a team enough to watch baseball right now because you won't be a Red Sox fan. Yo, you used to love the Red Sox, and so now you just want to be a Rays fan because that's the home team. You can't love a team that way. When you used to love a team, that's your heart, bro. Just be a Red Sox team fan.
Manny Ramirez and Pedro Martinez.
All right, I won't be a Red Sox fan if you'll be a Red Sox fan.
Let's rewind here.
Manny Ramirez and Pedro Martinez.
Let's let them talk so we can get this clearly on recording. So Manny, you used to love Pedro and Manny,
yes.
Which made you a Red Sox fan.
No, which made me like Pedro Martinez and Pedro.
But what team were they on?
The Red Sox.
Okay. So you know Pedro can't score any runs without, you know, he pitches, yeah. But you know he needs runs to win, right?
Of course.
Yeah, but Martinez government.
Well, I'm talking about Pedro now.
I mean, I'm Pedro.
So, which make you like the team, right? Because without any runs.
Manny
Ramirez
got him with that. Manny got him with that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So, I'm trying to dig this deeper. I'm trying to become like a little bit of a shrink here. There's some inner Red Sox tendencies here, if I'm catching my drift, you know.
His excuse of not being a Red Sox fan is he didn't like Big Papi. But that's just stupid. Because how could you not like Big Papi? Even people that didn't like the Red Sox liked Big Papi.
Wait a second. Let's rewind it back again.
Yeah.
I don't like Big Papi. No.
Oh, then, no, let's hear this out, man. Come on. I'm a turkey based man. Come on.
He said he was more of a fan of Dustin Pedroia than Big Poppy.
But what? No, okay, but let's not go to Dustin Pedroia just yet. Let's go back to Big Poppy. How are you not a big fan of that guy?
I just...
Because Big Poppy owned the trap.
I don't know. I just never really like the Poppy same thing with LeBron.
Poppy owned the trap.
I never really liked LeBron. Tom Brady, I didn't like him until he came to Tampa. And shit, but...
Black sheep, like
he's a homer. He's a homer.
He's an underdog story, man. Rags to riches, man.
Cut from the
Minnesota Twins, put on waivers, bro. Picked up by the Red Sox. All
for
of a sudden,
pennies.
For nothing, bro.
Pennies, my guy. Pennies. I almost said my N-word, but pennies, my guy.
Over the entire career of baseball, bro, he will go down as the greatest DH. In MLB history, a guy that was put on waivers, bro.
But right at DH, so all he was good for is hitting.
What are pitchers good for? Pitching.
That's like the
throwing
most
the ball
important thing of the whole game, though. Pitchers is the most
it?
Important.
Why don't make the rules, bro? I didn't create the DH.
Is it?
If I don't give up zero runs, you can't win the
yeah,
game.
Yeah, but you only play every five games.
What pitch out there giving up every run, giving up zero run?
Nobody. That's my point, though. That's why it's the most important. All right,
important. So that's doesn't mean make any sense. And like Pat Wick said, you only pitch every 5 days. So your value to the team, no. Your impact on wins is limited to once every five games.
You're looking at it as one individual. The position itself is the most important position
in
baseball.
Yeah, but whose pitching staff is doing that, bro?
Position in baseball, though.
Whose pitching staff is winning you games from top to bottom?
I'm just
from
saying,
one though, through five. Who?
And football, what wins? What wins in football? Defense. If you don't give up points, you can't lose the game. So baseball, just because nobody ever gets a shutout every week in football, but we still say defense wins championships.
But the thing about baseball is that right there.
That's why Tampa could be so.
You can't
good
just be a
on
one player team.
But that's why
in baseball, you could be a one player team in the NFL.
That's why Tampa has been so good with no money and no fans, you know, because they just keep a reliable young pitching staff together, and that keeps them in ball games because all their games are 1-2, 2-3, 3-2, like, you know.
You're absolutely right. Until the pressure's on, and then they fold because they're always still too young for the moment.
Young, that's the same thing that helps us. The same thing that helps us through the season, and the same thing that kills us in the postseason.
Exactly. You know, they're always still too young for the moment, bro. That's the problem with the Rays, bro. Like, yes, the farm system is great. The longevity of the players staying in Tampa, because if you look around the league, somebody is trying out a starting pitcher or a closer that came from Tampa.
Yeah. I mean, no doubt. I mean, it's unfortunate that when you guys do bring veterans in, they're not at their best ability. It's more times when they're coming off.
Right. And they don't even bring them for that ability. They bring them for that leadership, but it's not enough because you gotta fucking spend some money, and they don't have that.
Nelson
money.
Cruz kind of broke that trend just a little bit because he's been able to play at an older age and still high ability. That to me was their only really like veteran that they brought in hitting wise, because most of the time it just doesn't work out there for veterans.
Yeah.
A good segment. I like the banter. That's good job.
Hey. Guess what?
Want you to not
it.
Malik said.
Who?
Who?
Oh, I don't even know.
Shit.
I don't know who that guy is.
I'm going to Kamikaze.
Heartbreak Kamikaze. HBK.
I done put a Kamikaze.
My guy.
Dropping government names and shit.
Hey, I ain't dropped no government name. I saw you cheat. That's a Pat Wick move. That's not me.
Nah.
Wait. I'd like to go back to audio and find out when the last time I dropped someone's name.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure Kamikaze was
the only people that say bad things on the air is usually Mr. Kamikaze.
Right.
I didn't say the N-word. I said my guy.
No, I know that, but normally, who is the guy? Who is the guy?
I'm sure you called me my government name before one episode.
I've never called you the C word. Motherfucking cunt.
You're out.
All right.
I got audio to prove it. All right, so, but I just want to say shouts out to Bobby D and JD Martinez for going yard back-to-back games. I'm predicting that Bobby D continues his yard-to-yard swings. He's going to go probably 1 for 4, but one of them is yard. I'm telling you that.
He's right home, now. Man. He's in his
He's in his environment. Right, he's man. Always dreamed about fucking smacking balls in that yard.
I hate the retrospect with being in Seattle, but he's in his Nirvana.
Nirvana. Ooh, I like that.
Nirvana. Yes. All right.
You open like.
And once again, for always beer buzz banter. Yankees suck, right?
Yankees motherfucking suck.
Yankees suck. Are we wrapping up?
Blue Jays suck.
No, you got more to talk about.
I was like, man, it sounded like we're wrapping up.
Baseball.
Baseball.
We ain't gonna drag you out with this. Drag you out with this 2-on-1 Boston versus Rays handicap match for too long, you know?
Well, I'm not worried about it.
Oh, you ain't worried about it?
Check the standings.
Right. Let's check the standings. That's your excuse?
Check the standings.
Let's check the standings this time from last year and see what happened. Right, didn't we beat the Rays in the divisional championship?
We sure did.
Okay, I thought so. You can win our division, but you still gotta meet us in the playoffs. And when you meet us in the playoff, Kike Hernandez is hot. I'm just saying. That's when he go from Enrique to Kike. He's like, oh, yeah, I need a nickname now because I'm fire. Fire! Alright.
Once again, we bid farewell to the Rays closer.
Fuck that guy.
I told y'all,
if I drank this third beer, it was trouble. I drank that third beer, it's trouble. I'm halfway through number 4, by the way.
Oh, shit. He's gonna take a nap after this.
Red Sox in number 2, man.
Right. I'm not missing this game. Alright, I gotta pause this real quick so we can reset.
Might have dropped this bitch down in 5 minutes.
He better drop this bitch down in 5 minutes. Sheep said Golden State in 7. You said, Patwick said Boston in 7. I said Golden State in 5. End of story. What? What we was talking about? Wiggins doing his thuggies.
I said Wiggins playing out of his mind. Rebounding machine.
Definitely. People said we need to put some respect on Jaylen Brown's name. Didn't I hear that?
I did say that, yes. You need to definitely put some respect on Jaylen Brown. Because the Knights, when Tatum has to be more of a facilitator than a scorer, Jaylen Brown's always that dude that steps up and scores.
Best player in Boston,
right? Mm-hmm. And somebody said Steph Curry was the greatest point guard of all time. That was stupid.
All time. He's going to get at least 5 rings.
What is the point of a point guard?
What is distribute the ball and run the ball. Offense.
So why does my man John Stockton not get more respect? Man leads the
bro,
league.
Bro, because
in
he
assists.
Couldn't pass like Magic Johnson could.
Whoa. Because he's white.
Today.
That's his
white.
Problem.
Because he's white and he went to
that's his problem. He should go slap his mother for having sex with a white man.
In today's league, it's actually positionless.
So you can't even call Steph Curry a point guard because he don't even do the job of a point guard.
Technically, you can't even call Magic Johnson or LeBron James a point guard because they're hybrid guards.
That's what I was getting at. That's what I was going to get at. But there's been positionless players named.
Dude, no offense, bro. You're not supposed to be 6'9 being a point guard. I get it if you got skills when it comes to passing, but that's not supposed to be your natural position.
That's what I'm saying.
But that was
a hybrid guard.
It's
a hybrid guard.
But that was his natural position.
Right.
When he played center, it was only due to injury.
So, now that I'm thinking about it more and more, we really shouldn't rank NBA players on positions. We just rank them based on greatness.
Man, y'all sucking people's cocks. Don't play with my man Magic. Magic the GOAT.
It's raining tacos. Raining tacos.
I told y'all, if I get past three, it was a problem.
But don't forget.
Well, you're just. I mean, Steph Curry is going to go down.
With five rings.
With the best shooting overall, everything.
Every record.
Every record, he will own it. I mean, I can respect that.
Kamikaze. Literally Heartbreak Kamikaze votes Magic Johnson.
He literally changed the game himself. Like, he literally
did changed. Did he change the game, or did NBA change the game?
He changed it.
Because I feel like the NBA went soft.
No, not as far as soft. As far as shooting threes at the rate and the distance they shoot them at and the frequency they shoot them at. He's the reason of that.
Well, I feel like, you know, when they were trying to
even get Ray Allen couldn't get everybody shooting 20, 30, 40 threes a game, like, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, it just, I feel like when they were trying to escape this quote-unquote thug mentality when it came to NBA lifestyle or, you know, their dress, how they came into the arena, I feel like they were trying to get away of the harder fouls, the hard ball that is associated, with thug mentality type of situations, to where now, you know, they want more shooting. You know, if you're gonna go into the paint, most awfully you're gonna get a foul called for you in your favor. We've seen that happen with Harden and LeBron James and things like that.
She made a mess.
So, but I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Uncle Kamikaze was not just snitching.
I'm gonna make sure I tell her too.
Don't do that to me.
You gonna make sure you tell her?
Yeah, it was like, damn, Uncle Kamikaze.
That was glass, I heard it break.
That wasn't glass, that was a bottle cap.
Oh, good. I'm scared for Sheep to break his iPhone because he's gonna blame me. You made me get this motherfucker and knew I was gonna bring it.
All right.
Basketball was a dud.
Well, it wasn't like a dud because you fucked it up the first time.
No, it's a dud because nobody cares about who's left.
Well, Black Sheep cares.
Everybody cares.
Black Sheep is playing still. You know, the greatest of all time.
The GOAT.
Yeah, the GOAT, Steph Curry.
Did you really call Steph Curry a GOAT?
Bro, he changed the whole game, bro. He got every shooting record ever already.
Y'all gonna make me cut this segment out the show. Y'all calling Steph Curry a GOAT.
Oh, wait. Who's this y'all?
I'm just gonna randomly, every segment, I'm just gonna randomly throw in, like, I don't care if we're talking about wrestling. Hey, by the way, Steph Curry's the GOAT.
You gonna make me just throw the whole podcast show away?
Don't forget.
In all fairness, Kamikaze, would it be Black Sheep to be able to signify and recognize a goat?
Sheep's grow up to be goats.
I mean, we can't really doubt that ability, man.
Sheep's
grow
up to be goats.
Right, so, I mean, you can't necessarily argue when Black Sheep says this guy might be a goat. You know, he would be able to tell us.
All right, well, we know LeBron's the best. LeBron's a close second. Bill Russell is right up there with them because he got his rings. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is a GOAT.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, absolutely.
So, GOATs can be plenty in basketball.
Good point.
We will leave it at that. Let's go Golden State because I picked y'all to win. Fuck y'all, though. All right, we are back. And what's next on the docket, Sheep?
Football. If you haven't noticed, some of your favorite fantasy football receivers, big hits, have been upgraded as far as contractually.
Yes.
Everybody's getting paid.
Well, everybody that should be paid is getting paid. Yes, Black Sheep.
Well, yeah.
I mean, they're getting paid without getting paid, right?
The scary
Cooper Kupp isn't exactly grabbing top dollar, is he?
Yeah, he is.
Is he?
Yeah.
Overall, averagely?
He actually got the most guaranteed money out of any wide receiver in the league.
All right, so he's one of our big hits
over the past week to start getting paid again?
He's getting overpaid, in my opinion.
Overpaid. Now, discuss that, Black Sheep. Overpaid. Here's a guy that was
overrated
too. Yo, here's a guy that went out and literally balled in every facet he can. Receptions, yards, you know. So why do you think he's, you know, he's not a guy that's been a sleeper, you know, in the league. He's been a guy that's been on the upscale. So talk about it, Black Sheep.
I just don't see him as a top five receiver in the NFL. There's at least seven guys I would take ahead of him on my team.
But hasn't he done the exact thing for Jared Goff that he's done for Matthew Stafford?
No.
No?
No.
He didn't rack up receptions for Jared Goff and for Matthew Stafford?
Not like he did last year.
Well, I mean, obviously that was his pinnacle season of his NFL career. But, I mean, the guy still went reception crazy.
For last year, he only had 1 year over 1,000 yards.
How long has he been in the league?
Since 2017. In five seasons, he only has 2 years over 1,000 yards. He only has 2 years over 10 touchdowns. In five seasons, he barely got over 5,000 yards. And that's with 2,000 yards last year.
Okay.
All right. It's really not that dude.
We're getting some facts to the face now.
He only got 40 touchdowns in five seasons. And in two seasons, he got 26 of them combined.
But what you think, what you're saying...
And he's saying back-to-back seasons either. So it's not like he's coming on. Like the season before that, he only had 900 yards last year.
Now, he hasn't, you know, exactly gotten, like, the five-year big contract that most of these other guys have received. Yeah.
No, what they did was they added 3 years. Like, they added years to the end of it and extended his money that way. So... People are wondering how the Rams are affording all these people. The way they're doing it is they adding the money towards the end of the contract at years down the road. But they won't have no money for years. Like, it's going to be like good 7 to 10 years.
Isn't that always seems kamikaze and Black Sheep? Isn't that always seem like a escape way for teams to not have to pay? Because most of the time, isn't that when you're getting cut from teams towards the end of your contract?
And then you can also work out a deal to pay them over a certain amount of years at that point if they wanted to type shit too. There's a lot of ways around the salary cap and to, we're not around it but to work it.
But isn't that how this league is kind of formulated, Black Sheep Kamikaze, as far as when you have that kind of success and you're coming off a Super Bowl win, when it comes to key players, aren't you almost not forced, but aren't you responsibly supposed to extend them? I mean, obviously we've seen that with Joe Flacco after coming off a Super Bowl win.
Yeah, but that put us in purgatory, so I don't know.
Well, I mean, the Rams are in a win-now mode. I mean, Matthew Stafford's not getting any younger.
Well, yeah, well. But that team is constructed differently from the way the Ravens were, and the Ravens lost a big part after that Super Bowl, and Ray Rice put, you know, doing Ray Rice things.
Think what you learn! Think your actions have consequences!
They never learn!
I mean, he is getting paid for market top dollar now, but are you seeing a long, I mean, were we able to figure out if it's a long contract
for
Cooper Kupp?
They didn't add any years. They just gave him a raise.
Just gave him a raise. So really not on the hook for much. Everything kind of up front, pretty much. That's Hunter Renfro, I'm sorry. $21 million was guaranteed for Hunter Renfro.
No, matter of fact, he got a 2-year extension, so he has a 4-year deal, $75 million guaranteed for Cooper Kupp.
For the Los Angeles Rams, isn't that kind of a bargain?
Yeah. The one who didn't add any years was Aaron Donald. He just got a raise.
Yeah, he just straight up got a raise.
Well, they, you know, the Rams kind of had their guns to their head at that point.
Not really. Well, I mean, kind of, but...
It was retirement or raise.
Right.
Yeah,
so they kind of
exactly.
did.
That's what I'm saying. They didn't really have a gun to their head. They just had a choice. Do we want this nigga back? Do we want the people think? I don't think he's the best defensive player in the league. But people think he's the best defensive player in the league. We can let them think that.
Do you want this what back?
His best player in the league. He's a awesome player.
It finally wasn't me! My God!
I tried to play it off. Y'all want to let me just roll with it.
But he's such a big part of the defense. Even if it's not a great sack total, he's a big part of it. And you take that big piece,
yeah,
you've got a gaping hole now.
Oh, that's for sure.
If you're the Los Angeles
Rams. He's the best player on that defense in the NFC for sure.
Okay.
Best player in defense in the NFC for sure.
So, I mean, they're in a win-now mode, so they got to pay him in order to win now. You lose that kind of consistency on defense.
Unless he was like the Bucks and he drafted Vita Bay, and then you really could have just let him retire, save a little bit of money, and brought with Vita Bay, but then it would have been straight. But, see, the Rams ain't do that. They bought all old veteran players, so they'd be good for another year or two, and then they're going to be no money, and they're going to be broke team with no money, and all bunch of old guys like the Lakers was this year. You know what I mean? A bunch of players are hurt all the time. And then they're
going to be, how he just come at us with the low blows on the slide?
It's like sheep, man. What do you expect?
You know? Oh, my bad. I forgot. Y'all a Laker fan. Hey, Thomas said he was a Laker fan.
Smart people use yard, Cord.
So, I was like, I'm sorry.
All right, switching gears here. We're leaving Cooper
Cup. Why sorry? We just won a championship 3 years ago.
Damn.
When was the last time the Sixers won a championship? Oh, yeah, that's right.
Never mind. 3 years ago. Damn. That'd be the last one you went about 20 years now because of LeBron.
I guess we trusted the process, right?
What? Y'all pick again and drop in what, 2035?
We'll trust the process.
2035.
That's what we'll do. We'll trust the process.
Yeah. All right. Cooper Kupp's getting paid. Aaron Donald's getting paid. Hunter Renfro
getting paid.
21
Which
million
was interesting because they had already paid Devontae Adams, right?
They already paid Derek Carr.
So last year we all had a guy in the first round of our draft, right? For fantasy football. This year, do you want to disclose who our guy is?
I mean, everybody knows my guy.
Do we? I know your guy.
Najee.
No. It's J-Dub.
JT?
Oh, I'm sorry, bro. It's J-Dub from the Broncos.
And he hit it with my with his foot, too.
I know you see that.
It's J-Dub from the Broncos.
Oh, really?
Devontae Williams?
All right, well, fill us in. What's going on? What do you feel?
He's going to be a top five running back this year because he runs hard, and it don't matter if you got a lot in the block form or not, he's going to fucking get hit.
Where's all this loyalty towards JT?
Oh, JT's there.
JT,
I don't have to talk about him no more.
Everybody knows.
Everybody,
he ain't falling no more. That's
the problem. I tried to tell everybody about JT last year.
He's on his next new beautiful Christmas present of a toy right now.
Right, this is Javonte Williams this time next year. One goal in
Javonte
the second round.
Season.
This time next year, it's gonna be JT and Devontae going 1 and 2 next year.
All right.
D. Henry probably gonna get injured again this year. What's up for Haskins, a rookie running back for the Titans from Michigan, actually.
Hassan Haskins.
Yo, look out for him. Actually, he might. I think Derrick Henry's gonna come back and get hurt early too.
Part of that two-headed monster last year, right?
I think he's gonna get hurt
from Michigan
this year again. I think this is the start of the downfall. And we see Swift, DeAndre Swift, he's another sleeper. Either he's going to get hurt and never trust him again like CMC again this year, or he's really going to stay healthy and ball out because he got a lot bigger. I've been real.
I'm banking on the latter of that, bro. Like, the Lions, bro, for some reason, bro.
But DeAndre,
I believe in them
DeAndre
this year,
Swift,
bro.
Low-key, another top five running back in this year, I think. Najee.
Like, they might not win their division, but they'll be a wild card team. The Lions will make the playoffs
this
year.
I don't think
they're
going to make the playoffs this year. Not this year.
Bro, that defense alone,
but
bro.
They're
going
to
be nasty, bro.
They're going to be competitive for sure.
Let's finish up with Hunter. $35 million, 21 guaranteed.
Nobody cares about the Raiders. We hear about the Raiders too much. We are done with the Raiders.
1,000 yards last year.
Don't you hear about the Raiders too much?
Yeah.
Him combined with the Devontae Adams added Raiders.
Could be good. Congratulations, Hunter. You deserve the money you get. You're a tough-nosed ball catcher, but we don't care about the Raiders. Sorry, we hear about them too much.
Sorry, Alex.
And Nick.
All right.
Nick's the worst.
So continue what you were saying, Black Sheep.
But DeAndre Swift, another sleeper. I feel like it's going to ball out this year if he can stay healthy. I really don't think too highly of any of the rookies this year. They have a Jamar Chase type season.
Wide receiver wise?
No, even running backs. Like, right, Breece Hall, I think he'd get over 1,000 yards, but I don't think he's going to be like 1,500 yards.
So,
like,
what about your boy Garrett Wilson?
I don't think he's not this season. I can see him getting around 1,000 yards or so.
Is that on him or his quarterback?
That's
situation?
On the team and the situation itself. He could have took Zach Wilson, and has Zach Wilson been on the Steelers organization, or if he was coming into KC with even his quarterback, he'd be in a lot better position. But just that atmosphere on the team and the coaching and everything is going to delay him a little bit more than what he fully is.
What about Chris Olave?
I actually think he's going to actually end up being the best wide receiver this year, not in the whole draft. But this year, stat-wise, I think Chris Olave is going to be the most productive.
After that statement, who's going to be your best wide receiver from the draft?
Like, when it's all said and done?
All said and done. Hall of Fame.
Watson.
Christian Watson. Green Bay Packers, right?
Yep.
Is it more on Christian Watson or the situation?
Both. Because he got the natural talent, skill set, size, speed, and everything already there, and then he's walking into a perfect organization with the perfect time with Aaron Rodgers. He's got a year with Aaron Rodgers and everything, and then they're not going to be irrelevant. They're going to find a way to get somebody or some quarterback. Just overall, Boston probably going to end up being the best. Oh, Pickens.
Pickens, the homer pick?
Yeah, of course. That's why I didn't want to say Pickens, but...
Okay. At least you're honest.
Fired!
You know, at least you're honest about it, you know.
Right. Sky Moore now. Don't sleep on Sky Moore, though.
Who drafted Sky Moore?
The Chiefs.
Kansas City. Yeah. Well, I mean, you got Patrick Mahomes throwing to you. You can be that guy. If you that guy, you can be that guy with Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes ain't no
and it's just like you said with Christian Watson. I kind of agree with you that he's going to be the best receiver out of this draft class. As much as I want it to be one of these Ohio State wide receivers, it's going to be a guy that has decent quarterback.
And
if it's not Watson, then it'll be Sky Moore.
With proven coaches and a front office.
So, you kind of make a good point. But I promise you, the best receiver coming out of next year's draft class.
Don't hop on my boy train now, man.
He's an Ohio State Buckeye. And that's what I need to raise.
Man, I watched so many videos earlier when I was looking at all my prospects for this coming year season, for next year's draft, keeping the eye on the season, like Malik Willis and Trey Lance and shit. And everybody's fucking talking about Smith and Jigba now. I'm like, man, it took me literally one game. I watched
not even a game, bro. Right. It's like one of our spring training joints.
And I was like, bro, who's that dude? And he was like, oh, it's his freshman, Smith and Jigba. I'm like, and he kept talking about Olave and Wilson. I'm like, nah, bro. I'm like, I want him, bro.
Hey, but to be fair, Olave and Wilson is like that, bro.
No, they good though, yeah. I fell in love with Wilson. I always thought they had Wilson over Olave the whole time,
bro.
And I didn't understand why. And then I started actually watching him and shit, and I watched him at the combine.
He reminds you.
And like how he runs his route.
He reminds you of Devontae Adams, kind of, bro.
Right.
Bro.
And how
the way he comes off the line, bro.
And
so.
How fast he runs. Like, he's not the fastest wide receiver, but his first couple of steps in and out of his routes are so fucking fast.
He's gonna get open, bro. It's so smooth.
Right.
It looks effortless, bro.
It's just so nice. Like, oh.
My guy was always Chris Olave. But, to be fair, if you're wearing number 2 as a Buckeye, you're the best player on the team, and usually, you know,
yeah.
I probably loved you for a long time.
But
so, you wasn't moving me off of Chris Olave, no matter what you were saying. Now that he's gone, we can talk Jackson, Smith, and Jigba. But, no, you're absolutely right, bro. Sheep saw it before me on that one. That's crazy. Because, like, I watch a lot of fucking tape, you feel me? Even shit that we don't get to see on TV, you know? I dive deep into shit when I love it, you feel me? And, like, I've always seen him flash, but I was too busy focused on our guys, you know, that I wasn't paying him no mind, but all it took was for Sheep to see one thing from Jackson Smith and Ziggy. He was like, oh, he gonna be a dog this year.
Yeah.
Like, he literally said, he gonna be a dog this year. And I was like, oh, Jackson gonna be? I was like, bro, he's a freshman. I ain't really looking forward to him doing anything. All he did was lead the team in catches, yards, and touchdowns.
That's a true freshman. He's not even redshirt. True freshman. That means he was just in high school last year, bro. The year before. Fucking crazy.
So, yeah, but good conversation. Yeah, I'd love to meet some Jackson Smith and Jigma now. I can love him now. He should be the one to wear two. I don't know who's going to get two this year. That's what's going to be...
CJ.
That's what's going to be crazy because we don't know
who... Stroud's
not the best player on our team right now.
He's probably key five.
Stroud, man.
If I be
I'm
right
still not even sold on Stroud, bro.
A lot of people got
even him. After he got settled last year, I was still uncomfortable with him.
A lot of people, with him and Bryce Young, everybody's high on. I don't like Bryce Young or Stroud for a prospect. I don't like.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as that. Like, I don't. What you think?
There's a couple
back.
Quarterbacks.
He like, fuck, are we talking about Ohio State for and we got them week one? See, look at Pat. You see him? He like, man, why the fuck we talking
there's
about
there's a couple quarterbacks, though, that we need to watch out for, depending on what kind of player and quarterback you want. Man, I haven't really got my whole list yet. Not just quarterbacks, but I'm starting with quarterbacks first. But two names off the top of my head that we need to start looking into: Malik Cunningham from Louisville. A lot of good things out of him. Little inconsistent in his passing game, but Malik Cunningham from Louisville, and then homeboy from Tennessee. I was telling Pat Rick about earlier. His Hanina or something like that. His last name is Hooker though. Hooker. He looks promising.
From the Volunteers?
Yeah, he looks number five for the Volunteers. He looked promising last year, and I've been like reading a lot of good reports in the offseason. He got a lot bigger and stuff too on top of that. And
he mobile?
Yeah, he's mobile. Malik Cunningham is by far the most mobile quarterback of this draft class.
Of course.
Malik Willis or Lamar Jackson. He literally, he played for Louisville too. It's like, when you watch this highlight tape earlier, it looks like Lamar Jackson out there. Like, I
don't even disrespect him.
Nah, like, I'll show you some.
Lamar did something that nobody else in Louisville history did other than Johnny Unitas. That's got his jersey retired. Do not disrespect Lamar like that. When we see a jersey retirement, do not put him in Lamar's class.
But those are two of the guys I found, sir. It's early. I'm going to get a little
list. Jumping on his scouting before I jump on mine.
Little
you had the game on me, motherfucker. I'll see you.
You know, quarterbacks, so that's my thing, though, especially. Yeah. I always be studying
quarterbacks. Well, yeah, that's my last thing to be worried about.
I always be studying quarterbacks.
I'm never really, like...
Be good for a while.
Yeah, I'm never really, like, right on quarterbacks in general, bro. Because I ain't going to lie, I love Baker coming out of that draft where we got Lamar. And, I mean, I still like Baker as an NFL starting quarterback. So, I'm not...
Isn't that Josh Allen class?
Yeah, but... Oh! Don't get me wrong. We were high on Josh Allen.
I was
fucking when I was Josh fucking Allen. Pumping up Baker. Pat Wick was like, "Hey, you need to look at this kid from Wyoming first before you start talking about some."
See, that's my favorite. See, I know that's my favorite. That's why I love quarterbacks so much, because everybody looks at Alabama or Oklahoma and
well,
Clemson.
No, I didn't
no,
look at
y'all.
Before
no, no,
Baker
no.
though.
No,
I didn't
no,
look
no,
at
no,
Oklahoma
not
for
you.
Quarterbacks.
I'm not saying
so.
You. I'm not saying you. I'm saying in general. This is why I like quarterback. Most of the great quarterbacks come from smaller schools.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's the ones I find that I'm like, oh, shit, bro. This motherfucker, like, I remember, like, Colin Kaepernick in college, bro. I still didn't know about it, bro. I remember I just happened to turn in a bowl game one year, his freshman year, and shit, they were talking about over 1,000 passing and rushing yards and all this and that. And I watched the game, and I was like, oh, this cat's going to be great. And nobody talked about him all the way up through the draft and everything, and then... Actually, when he made it, I think it was like a third or fourth round pick.
Right, and they drafted Alex Smith that same year they took Kaepernick, bro.
It was crazy, and I was like, what the fuck? And then...
Which Alex Smith wasn't a bad pick.
No. He ended up in the Super
Bowl. But Kaepernick was the best pick.
Ended up in the Super Bowl, and I was like, damn.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he definitely ended up in the Super Bowl. He ended up in the Super Bowl.
Right.
That was a nice segue. But no, for real, I think my computer, my quarterback radar is broken because of the Ohio State syndrome.
Yeah.
You know, all of our quarterbacks, they're great at Ohio State, but when they go to the league, they ask. Like, I have a rule. Do not draft an Ohio State quarterback, otherwise they're going to end up dead on the Florida highway.
Yeah.
Oops, I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
I'm going to jail.
Oh shit! I should have said that.
We're
going to
get canceled.
I told y'all after that third beer was over.
Oh, you did. You missed it earlier this morning, but I was listening to Tyreek Hill get started a new podcast and called It Needed to Be Said. That's when he actually talked about Tua and Patrick Mahomes and all that and shit. But it was a good podcast. He actually asked a good question. His first co-host. His co-host is actually his lawyer. They became best friends after he got his legal trouble in KC. But their first guest was Drew Rosenhier, his agent. And he asked him if he could live forever, would he? It was a good question. So I wanted to ask you guys while we was live on air. Me and Pat kind of talked about it earlier off air. I'm going to ask you, put you on the spot. If you could live forever, would you?
No.
Why?
Because I've seen what living long lives do to people. And it makes them almost... You know, like, so do you want me to look at it from a perspective of the life that I've seen? Like, no, the life that I've lived and what I've seen in the world? Or do you want me to look at it from a perspective if my life was perfect?
I just want you to tell me your honest answers. If you had the power to live forever.
No. I'm a poor man, you know, barely making it, you know. Every time I get a little bit of money, I feel the need to spend it on some nice shit because I like nice shit.
Wrestling boat.
You know? And I can't never get ahead of anything, so I'm always behind on everything and trying to get ahead because every time I get some extra money, I'm spending it on some dumb shit. And I want to be one of those types of people who can buy it twice and not even think about it, you feel me? But I'm not. So do I want to live this life forever? Hell no.
But you can live it forever by everything twice then with enough time. The time is irrelevant.
Yeah, well, I mean, eventually, you know, I may feel differently. But you asked me about my honest opinion. And the way I got to look at it is, realistically, I'm probably going to end up in this situation for the rest of my life. Which I'm okay with. Because I'm still living a life that I'm comfortable with.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm not living a life where I'm wanting or needing much. Yes, I need this. And yes, I want this. But there's stuff that I want that I have. You know, so I can't be ungrateful for that. But do I want to live this type of life for the rest of my life? Hell no.
Alright. It's fair.
But yeah, he asked that question to Drew. It was a good question. It brought up a good conversation. There was a couple different ways to go. Drew answered yes at first, and you know, and then because he said, you know, he likes to see his kids smile and you know, be happy, and he would like to see that forever.
Well, that's part of my answer too. I can't see my kids smile.
So that's
a little bit of a.
But then Tyreek brought up a good point that Larry King was asked this question in an interview one time, and Larry King of course said yes to the question, and then the interviewer was like, well, you know, the perception we have on love and time, and you know, the reason why we call this person today, you know, because we know tomorrow is not always granted, and you know, the reason I get up out of bed and go do this shit today is because I know tomorrow, you know, da da da. And he was like, if time is irrelevant and stuff, he was like, probably everything you take for granted.
I'd be a fat guy with liver cancer.
Everything would take, you take everything for granted.
No, dead ass. I'd be a fat guy with liver cancer. Because I hate going to work. You feel me? Even though I love my job.
But
I hate going to work.
My thinking was, here's another twist to the thinking, though. Here's another twist. If you live forever, no matter what, then you can be fearless. So you can literally go out there and do anything you want to, and you know you're not going to die.
Well, am I living for the Tyreek Hill type money? Then yeah,
right. That's different.
Or am I living by my means now? Then no.
But if you live forever, it'd be a lot easier for me. It'd be a lot easier if I knew I lived forever. I would have Tyreek Hill money by the end of the week.
Yeah, but then. Then the next week you're gonna be in jail because you just robbed a bank.
Not necessarily. If I live forever, how are they gonna arrest me if I don't stop? I'm just gonna keep going. Like, you know, I'm like, they can't kill me.
don't know. There's just so many angles.
That's a deep question, bro. But I think.
So it was a good question because there's so many ways you can do go and think about it. Flip it either way.
But I think about it this way. If my life was perfect, I'd probably have a different answer. Because my life is the way it is, my answer is no. I'd rather just go ahead and die at some point in my life and be remembered for all of the good that I did in this world by the people that loved me the most until they die.
Yeah.
You feel me? Because that's all that you can wish for, is to leave a lasting legacy where people can remember, like, hey, that guy, there was something special about him.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
You know, and you ain't got to be perfect. You know, but somebody has to love you when you go, when you leave this earth, you know?
Right.
So, you know, and that's how I see it. As long as I know I got people around me that's going to feel some type of way when I go, I'm good.
Right.
Pat gave me the finger signal to wrap it up, so we will wrap it up. It's been a great show. You motherfuckers almost didn't get one this week, but we was like, all right, the Red Sox game going to be over for a while. We got some fucking buzz.
Black
Let's go ahead and be
like,
buzz
in the
bands.
Studio ready to go yesterday, they took turns sleeping on me, so we're gonna do the show yesterday. I just wanna make it known because when I'm not here in the studio for the show, they like to bring it up on the air. So I'm just gonna let it
this
know.
This motherfucker
fans,
whispers the entire show, but he says that loud and clear, right? Fucking Wayne Jenkins ass motherfucker. Wayne Jenkins, I did not plant those drugs on that one drug bus.
Asking about the show yesterday, and they took turns sleeping.
To be fair, Wayne Jenkins is correct.
No comment.
Wayne Jenkins, everybody. Motherfucking Jenkins.
Black Sheep out.
Alright. Heartbreak Kamikaze. Pat Wick, this has been the Beer Buzz Banter. I hope you smoke with us. Hope you drink with us. Hope you talk your shit too. We'll see you next Saturday. This has been a Beer Buzz Banter. I am Heartbreak Kamikaze. That is Pat Wick. Black Sheep was in studio. Hope you smoke with us, drink with us. We'll talk to you next time.
We out.
Pat Wick, that's your cue. There we go. Tell him again.
We're out.
You're out of here.